It's almost like a self-worth thing. We have to believe that we're worthy of our own time, our own little allowance money, yep, our own breaks. We have to know in our hearts we're good moms, even if we go on a weekend trip by ourselves.
Yes.
Which sounds amazing, which I've never done, but let's do it. But yeah, there's a lot to manage. And the only way, like, I have personally been able to kind of get through it on the hard days is just to really announce that to my husband and to say, I need help with this.
Hey, this is Allison, and welcome to the Inspired Budget Podcast, where we talk all things budgeting, debt, and saving money. Today, I get to introduce you to my good friend, Kat Alford. Kat Alford started her own business years ago with two twins in tow. She is such an inspiration to me personally and has helped just honestly guide me on my own business journey. She has a new book out called Mom's Got Money, a millennial mom's guide to managing money like a boss. If you're a mom and you're ready to just take back ownership of the finances in your home, then this episode is for you. Let's go ahead and dive in with Kat Alford. Welcome, Kat, to the Inspired Budget Podcast. I am honored, like truly honored, to have you here. You've played such a big part in my journey starting Inspired Budget. So I am so excited to celebrate you, your new book, and introduce you to all of my listeners.
Wow. Thanks. That is really sweet. I'm honored to be here. You have helped me. Let's just make this a love fest. You're always so generous with your time. And I love being here. I was telling you earlier before we hit record, it's so nice to see you and to like talk with friends. So I'm happy to be here.
Yes. So I want to go ahead and dive in because sure, you have a new book out, Mom's Got Money. I have it right here. And I think it's so great. It's really geared towards millennial moms, right?
Right.
So tell us a little bit about the book.
Yeah, it's geared towards millennial moms. There's 9 million of us. And oh, I really wanted to write this high-level book that really encouraged moms to take a seat at a table, take a seat at the table in their homes, take a leadership position when it comes to their personal finances. I found that, you know, a lot of the personal finance advice geared towards moms really focuses on like, hey, like this is how you meal plan and this is how you get your coupons at the grocery store, which is like, God knows I need meal planning help. But I find that a lot of the advice is missing encouraging moms that they can absolutely make some of the harder decisions, that they can be leaders in their house, that they can learn about investing, that we are like the core of our family. We make daily decisions that impact our kids. And millennial moms are in this kind of strange position where they're like paying off their own student loans, but like, are they going to stay for their own kids? Because we're in this like kind of a sandwiched position right now. A lot of us graduated during a recession and millennials are in a unique position. I wanted a book that catered to them.
I love it. Oh my gosh. And I am a millennial mom. So this is something
we are very close to the same age, like even in the same month, I think.
I know. I think we are. And so I like, this is the book I wish I had 10 years ago. So you're a little bit too late for my timetable on when you wrote this, but this is perfect for really any millennial mom who is like, you know what? I'm going to stand up and take more ownership of some of the most important parts of my life and my family. I want to talk about specifically about chapter 3. I love this chapter. And you share a moment, you start off the chapter with a story that was uncomfortable, yet gave you such perspective and even better empathy. Can you share that story?
Sure. And I shared this story because I think when a lot of people come across me or come across my Instagram, like you're seeing like the shiny, like end result, right?
Of course. Look at how well I did. Well, it didn't always start out that way.
Yeah, it did it. So right when I became self-employed 3 months before I gave birth to my twins, who are 7 now. And I did all the right things, Allison. I'm chronicling the whole journey to thousands of people on my blog. I saved a $10,000 baby fund. I'm so ready for them. I have everything that the twins need. And I have money saved for their birth, even money, extra money saved if they had to go to the NICU, which they did. But all of the money like totally dwindled. We moved across the country. And when they were a couple months old, I found myself needing help, just not not having enough money to pay for this ultra specialty formula that they needed because they were preemies and all this kind of stuff. So I go to the WIC office. I have to like really humble myself. For those of you who don't know, WIC is for underprivileged mothers. It's a government program where you can get free formula, free food. And I had to go and I had to show my bank account to show that it was dwindling. And I got these coupons to take. And I went to the grocery store and I'm checking out. I've got the babies and they have no idea like what these checks are.
Oh, the cashier.
The cashier is just like, what is this? Like, I've never seen this before. And I'm, so now I'm even like more mortified. So I'm like, well, it's this WIC check. Like you put in the computer and then I take this, you know, $40 formula out the store. Well, you know, she has no idea what I'm talking about. She's like, no one's like ever used these at this store before. And so she gets on the intercom and she's literally says, customer needs assistance with a WIC check.
Oh my gosh.
I pretty much want to die and like crawl into a hole at this point, you know, rocking the two babies in the double stroller and this dad behind me who could have been my savior. This dad's behind me with two kids and he gets so mad that we're waiting forever for this manager to come. He leaves all of his groceries on the belt and grabs both of his kids and he just walks out the store. So like the babies are crying and like, I'm barely holding it together. We get it sorted. I get in the car and I just cry the whole way home. Cause at that point I had felt like I'd done everything right. I built this business. I had a full-time job and I built my business on the side and I saved all this money. And I like had like so many people cheering me on like through the internet. And I just felt like I was such a failure in that moment. And, but in a way, like it really, it kind of, when you hit that bottom, it's kind of good in a way because it really made me double down on my business. I was really kind of struggling with my schedule and what to do and work with, you know, it just, it lit a fire under me. I was like, I don't want to feel this way ever again. And I'm just going to gun it on the business. Right. And I did.
Yeah.
You know, it took a couple years, but I did.
Yeah. I think that so many of us have these moments, whether we're sitting in a grocery store, whether we're sitting at our kitchen table, or whether we can't afford the extracurricular payment for our kids to play soccer. Like, I feel like many millennial moms find ourselves in this position of, what do we do? And it's funny because I feel like we feel like a failure. Whereas I feel like, again, this is just me guessing, right? I feel like a man wouldn't see themselves as a failure.
Yeah.
But
I don't
think
so.
We take ownership. We take this this extra hit almost. Because even though you were standing in that line didn't mean you were a failure. It actually meant you were doing what you needed to do to make sure your kids were fed. You were doing exactly what you needed to do. You were taking care of them. But I love that it gave you empathy and perspective, because I do think that sometimes that's lacking when we talk about money.
Absolutely. I think, and I've been guilty of this in the past. I'm just like, get in there, work harder, you know, pull yourself up from your bootstraps. But having that moment really showed me you can do everything right. You can have the savings, you can check all the boxes, and still some things are just outside of your control. And what's important in those moments is to get the help you need when you need it. And you brought up an interesting point as mothers. And I talk about this in the book, you know, we are really battling against a lot of external pressures, societal pressures, as our, especially our American culture has evolved. And although we are trying so hard towards more equality between men and women, there's your relationship, my relationship, a lot of, we try to be equal in terms of like our childcare and how we do things.
Right.
But man, there is, we are still a lot harder on ourselves. I still lay in bed at night. Did I do the right thing?
Yes.
Like, why did I lose my temper? And like, my husband's like sleeping soundly.
I know.
He's like, it's fine.
See, I'm the same way. I'm like, I'm a terrible mom. And he's like, my husband's like, what do you even mean? Yeah. And it's like, we just take so much
really
more on
ourselves.
And it's really, and really part of it, I think, is an identity thing. I identify as a mom, sometimes I think to a fault. Like if I don't know, and this is just me thinking through things and just kind of spitting out information and thoughts and feelings and being vulnerable. But sometimes I feel like I identify so much as a mom that it takes away my identity. I put more identity there than I do other places. But sometimes because I identify so much as a mom, I forget to identify as Allison.
No, absolutely. No, I think I understand exactly what you mean. And I always think about the fact that I have twins and that they're going to go off to college at the same time. And I feel like I'm constantly like grabbing for the version of me that's just me. And like, what kind of things did I like before I had them? And what kind of hobbies did I even, what am I going to do when they're both gone on the same day?
I know. Oh my gosh.
Think about that, you know? But, and that's why it's important to talk about these things and give ourselves permission. Even in the book, I encourage stay-at-home moms, like get a babysitter every now and then, like treat yourself to a babysitter. Just because that is your day-to-day job doesn't mean that you don't get to have a 2-hour vacation to go to Target by yourself.
Exactly.
Browse. Just look.
Exactly. I love
Maybe
it.
Buy something, you know?
Oh my gosh. I love it. So we as millennial moms know that managing money, the house, and life, right? We take a lot of roles on in the family can be overwhelming. It's 100% overwhelming. Makes me just want to go take a nap. So what do you think can help make this an easier task for us as moms?
Yeah, I think that there was even a New York Times article about this. And what you're really talking about is mental load, right? Mm-hmm. And there was this interesting New York Times article that said communication is the answer. And all of us are like, no, if we communicate what we need, that's still a mental load. I still have to delegate. I still have to say like, I need this. But the truth of the matter is no one can read our minds. I talk a lot about outsourcing in the book. I talk a lot about putting these things into the budget. I think it's almost like a self-worth thing. We have to believe that we're worthy of our own time, our own little allowance money, our own breaks. We have to know in our hearts we're good moms, even if we go on a weekend trip by ourselves.
Yes.
Which sounds amazing, which I've never done, but let's do it. But yeah, there's a lot to manage. And the only way like I have personally been able to kind of get through it on the hard days is just to really announce that to my husband and to say, I need help with this.
Yes.
This thing has to be your responsibility.
Yes.
This is all I've done today. Like sat in my office for 4 hours, but all I've done is camp forms and this and school. And I haven't even started my own work today because I was so busy managing all of our family stuff. So I need you to take this. Again, working in the budget, working your way up. You know, when I first got married, I couldn't hire anybody to like, clean my house or something. I had to really convince myself that I was worthy of help with that and that it was okay to make that a line item in my budget at, you know, this income level. It's still hard for me. I'm not a recovering spender. I'm a recovering like saver.
Yeah.
I have to force myself to like buy stuff.
That's how my husband is. You know, he wants to save. And I've been wanting for years to have a house cleaner.
Yeah.
And it's not that we can't afford it. It's that adding the line item to our budget is, I almost feel like it's adding more pressure and more stress. I feel like that too.
Yeah.
But I'm at a breaking point where I'm like, look, we've got to make some changes. Yes, this is a privilege. Yes, this is something that not everyone has, but it also can contribute to an easier lifestyle for us and our time and everything. Cause you know, I know your husband works a lot. I know my husband when he's working, not at home in the summer, works a lot, but it's almost like, is it worth it? And I feel like I was reading Rachel Rogers' book. It's like making a $1 million decision.
I'm actually listening to that right now. I'm halfway through it.
Yes. Her. Okay. So I have her book, the hard copy, and I listened to the audiobook first. Okay. The audiobook is so good. Just because
I've been doing like all audiobooks lately. Speaking of cleaning, I'm like, while I'm cleaning, in between.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. I love it. Today's episode is brought to you by the Budgeting Basics email course. If you're new to budgeting or if you need a refresher, because let's be honest, sometimes we all need a little reset, then this free email course is for you. I'll walk you through exactly how to write a budget, get started with paying off debt and saving money. You'll also get access to my free resource library where I have a collection of free printables to help you get organized once and for all. Go to inspirebudget.com/free-course or simply click the link in the show notes. It's 100% free and I think you're going to love it. You also talk in chapter 3 about family budget meetings, and I love a good family budget meeting. They make my heart so happy. I feel like it's almost like a love language I have. Like,
and everyone listening is like,
no, okay. And I think I was like that at first because family meetings for us, my husband's the one who was like, I think we need to meet weekly and talk about these things. And I remember being like, what? This is overkill. But once we started doing it, I was like, this is what I've been missing.
It
comes back to what you said about communication. So tell me a little bit about what does a family budget meeting look like for you? And what do you think is the most important part of a family budget meeting?
So I do something that I really encourage all couples, partners to do. And it makes the family budget meeting like I don't have the statistics on this, but I feel like it will reduce the chance of an argument by like 50%. This is just me making up numbers.
Why 50? Let's go to 75.
Sure. So I start every budget meeting with a goal chat. We go big, audacious, crazy goals. We remind ourselves, you know, we're team Alford, right? We're on the same side here. Let's go over our crazy goals. And I encourage people to write these down separately and together. Then once you write them down, you erase them and then you go bigger. Your goals for your family budget meeting should be so embarrassingly big that you're afraid to tell your mom about them. So my stuff says like, I fly first class everywhere we go. And I don't actually do that currently, but I write it in the present tense. And so that way you get all your big goals out. You're like, okay, this is where we want our family to be. And this is our legacy. We want to be so generous with our kids. And we pay for all of our grandkids' college or whatever crazy. And then you go bigger, right? Then you have the budget meeting.
Yeah.
So then when you're like, well, why does your haircut cost $50? It doesn't matter as you get through it. You can make the little nitty gritty decisions so much better because you've got the big goals in mind. Or you're like, well, we don't really need to eat out six times. We should go two because then we can move this here. You can go in like the dream fund. So I like starting it out because it starts out the meeting and we do it once a month. So just like on this kind of excited, happy note. And then we just kind of go over what's going on this month and what income are we expecting? What are our expenses? Is there something different about this month? Is there like the 6 month car insurance due? Is there like a tuition payment due? Are we, you know, what are we going to throw any extra at your medical school loans this month? So we kind of talk about that. What's a fun thing? Is it someone's birthday? Is it this? Are we saving for a vacation? But again, when you start the meeting like that, you're kind of like happy and on the same page and it doesn't, it makes you like not argue during
the meeting.
Because I had plenty of those.
Oh yeah. And I think you have to have those to realize, hey, something's not working. We need something different. What I love about the way you're starting out these meetings is that it keeps those goals at the forefront of your mind all throughout the year, not just in January, right? When we think about them, but all throughout the year.
I love that. I think that's really, you're right. Yeah. Okay. I think you should come up with a fun team name. Make it good. Just don't, it shouldn't be something you dread. It should be fun.
Yeah. I agree. I have fun at our family budget meetings. Although I will be honest, some of them are still stressful.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, I mean, you just, life happens. And sometimes that can throw some stress in there. But overall, my goal is when I leave the meeting, I want to feel more secure in our finances. Yes. I want to have a better picture of what we are, where it looks like right now and where we are going, where we are headed. And knowing everything makes me feel more secure.
Yeah. Really good communication.
Yes.
And again, this is a good time for moms to practice some leadership, making some decisions, like bringing some ideas to the table, asking questions, looking up things together, looking up terms together, whatever.
Exactly.
This is a good time. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So what advice would you give to a new mom who feels absolutely overwhelmed, or really just any mom, right? It feels absolutely
this
like
this is us. We're not new moms. This is me right
now. Exactly. I'm like, this could go for me. What advice would you give to a mom who feels absolutely overwhelmed and isn't sure what she could do next to help her stop living paycheck to paycheck or take back control? She just has this feeling of complete overwhelm. And you go on Google and it's like, there's 10,000 things you can do. It's hard to know, well, what's the right thing to do? And just looking at that can shut you down. So what is like one thing you feel like moms can do to help manage your money better? Just if you were to do this one thing, start here.
Yeah, I think the awareness that we talked about is great. I mean, I could say like, pick your guru, pick your person. Doesn't have to be me. Doesn't have to be Allison. Just find whoever resonates with you. And it can get a lot when you see a lot of conflicting advice and you like really need help and it's just so intense. But I think just a little awareness, putting an audiobook in your ears while you're cleaning up or listening to some inspirational podcast or just taking one step a day. I think people believe they have to change overnight. And I really subscribe to the Atomic Habits model of 1% a day, just 1% a day. You know, in that way, it doesn't feel so overwhelming. Like, we're not saying that you're going to have millions of dollars in the bank tomorrow, but every day making one choice, taking one step that gets you just 1% more knowledge or 1% closer to a savings goal is really all you need. Time flies, right? I mean, life goes by so fast. If you're doing 1% a day of knowledge or savings when it comes to your money or selling a little thing, like if your one thing is like selling that chair in your basement and that's your 1% for that day, 6 months you'll look back, you'll be amazed at what you've learned and what you've accomplished and what you've saved with just a little bit.
And one thing, if you're listening to this, that you can do is go buy Mom's Got Money because this
or
book,
request it from your library
or request it from your library that does or get it and then pass it on to another mom friend after you read it, because you do walk through so many awesome things from your net worth to managing cash flow and savings and emergency funds, insurance. I mean, I think it's just really such a great overall book to help moms feel more confident. I love it. I think it's great.
Thanks, Allison.
No problem. Okay, so tell us more about where we can find you and, of course, get this book, which I'll also link down below in the show notes.
Thanks. Yeah, well, my main site is katherinealford.com. My Instagram is Katherine C. Alford. The book is available everywhere books are sold. Mm-hmm. So Amazon, Barnes & Noble, you can order it through Target, which is wild. So yeah, I would love to hear anybody's feedback if you go out and get it and let me know what you think.
I love it. It's so great. And hopefully I'll have a giveaway soon.
Yes.
With the books too.
So I can
give away some books to people. Kat, this is part of my favorite part of our interview. Okay. At the end of every interview, I always ask my guests three questions. I don't want you to think too much about them. It just gives us an opportunity to learn more about you. Okay. What is one thing on your bucket list that you would like to do?
I want to go to space, just to the atmosphere.
Really? Aren't they doing that? Can't you like book a
ticket to space? I want to be like 65, 70. I'm not going to go with young kids, but I want it to be like my final cool trip.
Wow.
Like I think by the time, 30, 40 years from now, maybe it'll be less than it is now.
Oh yeah. How much is it now? Have you ever looked?
Oh, I think just billionaires are going or people who are winning lottery tickets.
Yeah.
But like by that time, I hope to see a bunch more places and I want to do an atmosphere look before I go.
Not all the way to the moon. Just go up.
No, we're just going to take a little glide.
Yeah. There you go. Just up and back. Just a quick day trip.
Yeah, just a little look back down.
Oh my gosh. You know, when you say you dream big, you really do dream. Like that is never something that I would be like, I want to go to space. But you're like, forget the earth.
Yeah.
Heck no. Take me to space. I love it. Oh my gosh. That's the best answer. I way bigger and better than I would have ever thought you would say. So that's you. You dream big. I love it. Yeah. I know that this is a big one for you. Let's say that you're at home and you have 3 hours to do whatever you want with no interruptions, no twins, no husband, no housework, no work. What do you do with your time?
I think I'm like reading wrapped up in a blanket. I'm very indoorsy. You know, you're very outdoorsy. I admire you. I'm very indoorsy. I probably do like bubble bath, book.
Yeah.
Maybe I'd run out and get my nails done, something like that. If I nap, I can't do a cat nap like you can. Like I die for 3 hours when I nap.
Yeah.
So I don't want to use up the whole time with sleep.
Right. See, that's my thing is if I'm given this, my initial reaction is I want to nap, but then I'm like, but then I'm going to wake up and the time's going to be gone.
Right.
I almost want to do something to enjoy it. So
I just don't want to hear any noise either. I want to be in a padded room, because then if I hear stuff, then I'm going to want to come out and see what happened, you know?
That's true.
And I also, when I come out, everything should be clean.
So you go into a room for 3 hours, you take a bubble bath, you read a book, you come out and your home is spotless magically.
Yeah.
But you didn't hear a house cleaner.
But I heard nothing.
You heard nothing.
Vacuum cleaner. Nothing.
There you go.
Insulting my ears. You know.
I love it. Oh my gosh. Okay. And then the next one is, I just want you to finish this sentence. My favorite thing I've ever spent money on is?
Oh, travel.
Travel. Oh, yes. Because you took your kids to Paris, right?
Yeah, we took them. I saved up all my credit card points for like 5 years. And my husband had a month off when he graduated med school, in between med school and residency. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, we had enough stamina to take those two-year-old twins to a couple of different countries. Yeah. And it was all the flights were points. So it was
cool. That's awesome. That's awesome.
I haven't gotten anywhere interesting since that big trip, but we're getting back there.
Yeah, you'll get there. Your husband's been kind of busy.
Yeah. We're better now.
So. Exactly. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And I will link to your book, your website, your Instagram down below so everyone can go follow you and learn more about you.
Thanks, Allison. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. Anytime. Bye. Oh my gosh, what an amazing interview with Kat. Kat, thank you so much for joining. And as always, if you enjoyed this podcast episode, it would mean the world to me if you would leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and even a review. I look forward to reading the reviews so much, and it's free to just leave a rating and a review. And it's also free to subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast. Hit the subscribe button so that way you get updates every single week. I'll see you next Thursday.